the Rokan Show with Anna DePlantis right here, 720 WGN Chicago. We are live from Harry Carey's at 33 West Kinzie in Chicago. Kinzie and Dearborn. Wow. This is the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And, quite honestly, I've never felt more ridiculous than I do this year.
That's all I can say. Harry Carey's space style. We got a lot of people in their NASA suits, including you, Ro.
Wow.
Looking good.
Absolutely. And it turns out there's a couple of things I've learned about this this space suit that I'm wearing.
Uh-huh. Enlighten us.
As Anna just learned the hard way, there's no easy way to get this thing on and get this thing off. Because I decided, right before we left, I decided, well, you know, like Violetta, who has, bladder issues, I thought I'd better go to the bathroom right before we leave the station. Mm. And so I realized I was already wearing the thing, and I'm like, you gotta unzip me. And so from
it's
the back.
It's not self-operational, turns out.
Wow.
You gotta kind of have some help there.
And there are no good pockets for astronauts. So you know how, like, you know, I like to, like, stand around with my hands in my pocket. Apparently astronauts can't do that.
Do you have a little pouch in the front? You can do it right here.
Like a kangaroo pouch?
It looks like they have a flask pouch.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect size for a flask.
Which I think is really, if I was going to get rocketed into space and not know if I was coming back, I would definitely have a flask. Mm-hmm. No two ways
for today, put your ice cold Budweiser right in that little spot.
That's right. Do you have a bottle of Bud? If Frankie can get me a bottle of Bud, I will probably wear it here in my chest,
close to your heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. It's the day to do that.
And it's all speaking of Budweiser. It's all brought to us by Budweiser here too. So thank you all for that Budweiser. I'd like to thank Budweiser for so many things.
Where do you begin?
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin.
Rokan spelled backwards is knock Eeyore.
It's true. That was a taunt in grade school.
Oh, thanks for bringing
that
up.
That's what that is. Yeah, exactly. So that's what's happening here. We have the Budweiser.
The ice cold Budweisers have arrived.
Has arrived by another fellow astronaut.
Space age. They're in a very space age type of cool. Is it like an aluminum?
Yeah.
Yes.
Keeps it nice and cool.
Don't you think that the? Don't you think it's kind of important that the space program have Budweiser on board? Now I've been told. We're going to have to get this confirmed by somebody at NASA.
Okay.
But that at Tesla. I don't know.
Ask Elon Musk. Yeah. He knows everything space.
But the Americans are not allowed to have alcohol on board.
That's tough.
Their spacecraft. Or anything like, ships at sea or aircraft. You know, that technically alcohol is not allowed on board. Every while it gets snuck on board, but you know what I mean.
Maybe that's what they put in the Tesla.
But it turns out other militaries don't have that same rule.
Allow
beer.
Are you kidding me? The Soviets?
Oh. And the Soviets.
The Russians?
If they don't put vodka on board, they drink the brake fluid out of the...
you're right. NASA has the strict no alcohol policy, but the Russian cognac is up there. So even some American beer has made its way through other other members of the space programs internationally, and a surprising amount of alcohol traveled there. So
I think that should be on our top priority to change.
This is an
issue I'm going to get behind.
Of all of the rules we can change that are changing in America right now, I think this is the most important thing.
Yeah.
In the 80s, apparently, doctors recommended their Russian cosmonauts drink the cognac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
because they're alcoholics, and they would otherwise have the DTs.
Their space stations had full bars, you know. 9 months later, little kids, little mercury.
So we'll be drinking in their honor, too, today.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Do we need any others? Reasons?
It feels a little weird to be drinking in honor of the Russian space program, but I guess we're going to just have
add
to
it to the list.
Yeah, that's just another change in modern America that I'm not 100% comfortable with. All right, this is the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey, and the most important part of this is that for the last 20 years, we've been honoring one of the greatest broadcasters in baseball history, in American history, than in sports and television radio history. And this is our opportunity every year to remember him. And, of course, his beloved Dutchy Carey is here with us, has been with us for the last 20 years, as well as some of the other fine folks that knew Harry well, and some of the great people who've impersonated Harry over the years as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite an interesting assembly of people that we've got on the program today. Coming up, actually, we're going to have Grant DePorter, who is a proprietor here and the master showman who puts this on every year, explain to us why it is that I'm wearing a space suit.
Okay.
That's an important
point.
It is.
He's going to come on the air. He's going to go on the air, Grant? He's going to do an interview?
Normally very shy. Okay. Yeah. We were able to coerce him.
You almost never see him in media.
Okay.
But he is going to be here. And also, the guy who created this, one of the things that's been unveiled here is this Big Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Harry is this gigantic Harry Carey head.
He's big and he's hairy.
And
there's hair a lot, like all over it.
It's like this is a guy who's a Hollywood model maker.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you see things in Hollywood that have these incredible, you know, they get special effects. You see these, you think it might be a spaceship or it might be something else, but it's actually a model.
Uh-huh.
Well, he has done the same thing.
It is very lifelike.
Very.
Right. The heads, like from the Games of Thrones, you know, Game of Thrones had a controversy a number of years ago where the heads were a little too lifelike or they looked like other people in modern American history.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out, oh, those are just models. This is what we do.
Yeah,
well,
incredible.
A guy who does that sort of thing, not for Game of Thrones, but for that sort of thing, has done this here for Harry Carey. And for people who want to come down and see this, if you haven't already seen it, it'll be all over social media. But if you haven't already seen it, this is like an incredible likeness.
Yeah, you have to see it in person, though. When you see it in a picture, it's impressive, but in person, it's like, wow.
Because the skin really looks like flesh. I mean, it's done down to the tiniest detail.
I'm just worried that this thing's going to turn around and start talking to me.
I know.
That is my greatest concern.
Holy cow.
Yep. All right, so that is all coming your way. Plus, Marv Levy, the great Marv Levy, the Hall of Fame
legend.
Football coach, and Ron Kittle, the Chicago White Sox legend, is also here. And Ryan Dempster is going to be here.
Nice.
And Ryan Sandberg, Hall of Famer, is going to be here.
Between us, we have 282 home runs between me and Ryan.
That's
amazing,
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Combined,
yeah.
282.
Mm-hmm. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlatsis right here on 720 WGN. We're broadcasting live from Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse for the 20th annual worldwide host of Harry Carey.
Yes.
Brought to us by Budweiser.
Of course.
And Grant DePorter is the proprietor here. He's the man who puts on this party every year. 20 years you have been doing the worldwide toast to Harry Carey. Some infamous things have happened over these years. Of course, as we will all recall, the blowing up of the Bartman Ball, which made international headlines. Mm. You have people from all over the world, the toast, which is really cool. This year we have an Antarctica toast. We have a toast from the space station. We have, which is why we're wearing space gear.
Yes.
But maybe you'd like to explain to us why we're actually wearing things from outer space.
Yeah, the space theme,
yes.
Grant.
Well, I've always wanted to do this theme. It's space, the infinite frontier, because Will Ferrell did that. Harry Carey is like Carl Sagan in the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
Harry is an astronomer. So a lot of people know Harry because of that Will Ferrell skit. So, and when Harry passed away, Armageddon, Deep Impact, Lost in Space, they were all, you know, all the movies. So let's embrace space. So you talked about the NASA's toasting with powdered space iced tea.
Oh.
And we've had every corner of the planet toast Harry except Antarctica. So I made that my goal. And Lindblad Expeditions with National Geographic toasted with 250,000 king penguins.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. And it all works out well because there's a solar eclipse over Antarctica today, too. So it just felt like space, everything was calling to us.
Perfect.
Well, the daddy penguin had to sit on the egg while they toasted Harry Carey.
Turns out the daddy penguins do a lot of work, we learned.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Turns out.
Involved.
Much more than the daddy humans do, as it turns out.
Maybe. They might have a point there.
All right, so, but there is some sort of symmetry to Harry in space, right? Don't you have some sort of a theory about why Harry might be orbiting the Earth and looking down upon
us? Well, everything. I mean, when Harry passed away, there was a solar eclipse during his funeral. The only other one was during Dutchie's birthday.
Oh.
The movie Armageddon just had a lot of signs. Bruce Willis was played, his character was Harry. And Harry had to go up in a space shuttle and save the world. And a guy during the movie screams, "Cubs win the World Series." And there was a lot of different things that pointed to everything was, Harry, you have to save the world in 18 days. You have 18 seconds to this. Well, the Cubs won 18 years later. So that was the sign. If ever there was a sign, Armageddon was really about the Cubs winning the World Series.
Absolutely, Grant. If ever there was a sign. That's by the way, that's Grant's license plate. If ever there was a sign.
Yes. He's found it, if there is one.
Apparently there's a sign for everything.
You got to get some Harry memorabilia in space. That should be another...
Well, Budweiser is growing barley right now in the International Space Station because they want to be the first beer in space. When they colonize Mars, Bud wants to be ready for that.
Well, that's smart. Future thinking, right? You got to plan for the future.
All right, now we have our hero today is a man named Kevin Kirkpatrick, who is the creator of this giant hairy head that is here at the bar with us. Which I got to tell you something, Kevin, it's freaking me out, man. I saw it on Windy City Live yesterday when they unveiled it. It is. And you know, you stand next to it. It's on television. It looks like one thing. But when you're actually, this is the great. I mean, it looks real on television. But often things, as you know, in television movies, when they look real in person or they look real on film, they don't look real in person. Here, this thing look. I mean, it looks like if you stuck your finger in its eye, it would blink. What did you? What? How did you make this thing?
Well, I just one day decided to pick up about 400 pounds of clay and. Just start slinging it and making my Harry. I want to do a tribute after the Cubs won the World Series. I actually want to do it well before then, but when they won, it was a sign. It was like, you know what? It's about time.
What is your connection to Harry?
He grew up in, you know, I grew up in the household of Cubs fans, and he was just such a big presence. His voice, his personality, and when he passed. It felt like something was missing, and something was. And I just wanted to do a tribute to him and to all the Cubs fans, past, present, and future, that were around to see World Series happen and those who weren't around.
And you now you work in Hollywood. You do this for a living. You make these models for a living, right?
Yes,
so do what? Where have we seen your work?
Since we're on the space subject, I was... special effects makeup artist for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Worked on Avengers. And then we just finished up on the second season of Westworld.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
going
to be fun. Yeah. So you're a Chicago native, Cubs fan. Did you ever get to meet Harry in person?
I've never had that chance to meet him in person. The only time I saw him was when I went to Cubs games up in the broadcasting booth.
Great memories.
Drunkenly waving that microphone around.
Yeah.
Who can forget?
Yeah, no one can forget that. It was always the best. And then it's a pretty incredible thing. I mean, it's like, it's a little like, cinematically, it's a little like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where everybody had to start making that mountain out of mashed potatoes and clay and all of that. It seems to me that maybe you were touched by that same sort of bug. You had to make a Harry. You have the skill. You have the great artistry to be able to do something like that. And you did this. It's made out of clay. And then how are you getting... This is amazing.
It is.
Not only is it the skin, the exact right color of skin, which obviously you do for prosthetics and stuff like that as a Hollywood artist, but you even have the age spots down right.
Well, I took what I had learned throughout my career as a makeup effects artist, and I inserted it into my fine art career. So I look at every detail. I get the finest photographs that I can. And I look at all the details, and I just try and replicate that into my art. And it just wouldn't be right if I didn't have it down to the most fine, minute details.
It's perfect, Kevin.
Originally, I was actually going to do just a normal-sized, life-sized Harry bust,
but he was larger than life,
and so I had to make it bigger. And
where can people see this beyond today? Will this be in places where Cubs fans can check it out in person?
He's going to be living at the Chicago Sports Museum on Water Tower Place.
Oh, he is.
Yes.
Wow. I thought you were taking him back with you and you're going to keep him in your front yard. This is great news.
He's actually going to be on public display.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. And the hair is, the hair is gigantic format. So it's not like human hair, but it looks just like human hair. Where'd you get the hair?
It's human hair.
That's human hair?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of human hair. It's not as easy finding white human hair that you would think. You'd just be able to pick up a bunch of wigs, but that's not the case.
If you told senior citizens that they could donate their hair or sell their hair to Hollywood, you'd have a lot of it. Yeah. But this is how they get it, right? You get it from... This is the
people that donate their hair.
People donate their hair, or they sell their hair, depending on how they do it. It's pretty amazing.
It really is.
And each hair is punched in individually throughout his head, throughout his beard. It's kind of hard to see from far away, but if you look up close, you can see he's got 5 o'clock shadow and hair and ear hair, hair.
Well,
and you know the funny thing is, like, Dutchie saw this, went screaming out of the room because you got the hair, ear hair, totally 100% right. How did you know that? How long did this take you?
6.5 months.
6.5 months.
Yeah.
And was there ever a point, like all artists, do you stop and you go, oh my God, this is not working, and then you have to get through it?
No, I knew I had to get through it. Just like with everything that I start, I have to finish it. So
it's amazing.
It really is.
I think we need to do a special shout out to Michael Lantieri, who helps us blow up the baseball. He had Jim Cornelison explode the glasses and shake all the room with Back to the Future 2. The first text photo I got was Michael posing with this big Harry because he worked with Kevin on Westworld.
Yeah.
And that was like a small world connection there.
That is a small world connection.
And by the way, congratulations on Westworld. What a great piece of television
it
that
really
is.
It really is.
I'm really looking forward to it, to the second season airing.
And what you guys do, especially the effects that you have to do, makeup effects and things like that, it's amazing. That's specifically the most interesting stuff that's in that show, because you've got these things lying around on gurneys that you think they have to look like they're human, but they're also models.
A lot of that going on. A lot of the same stuff that I do here to make lifelike dead people or injured people or whatever, robots. Same kind of process goes into making...
Congratulations on your success, Kevin. That's really remarkable.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you get your starts at all here in Chicago in terms of...
Actually, in Freeport is where I began everything. I just used that as my launch pad, I guess, to get out in the world. I did just my art there, and then I went to Los Angeles to kind of get into the career. But I've worked in Chicago since.
So. Wow. People have an opportunity to come down and see this thing. It's absolutely remarkable. Mm. It's about a 5x scale, something like that.
It's big.
It's big. of Harry's head. I mean, Harry had a big head to begin with.
Yeah, but kind of did.
Because people on TV do. They just get, that's why they hire people on television, because they got bigger heads than normal.
Yeah.
Their head-to-shoulder ratio is higher. And Harry just, but not like this.
No.
Not like this. That's all I'm going to say.
Keith Olbermann texted me and said ESPN extrapolated this head, and they determined that Harry would be 35 feet tall based on this.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Chicago area native, by the way. I should say, Freeport, which is, just about an hour away from Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm. About 2 hours.
Right, just up to,
it's not far.
Yeah, let's just go with that. Yeah. Two hours. Well, you're actually working all the traffic in for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we appreciate it. Kevin Kirkpatrick.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Con Show with Anna DeVlantis live from Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse.
Yes.
33 West Kinsey in Chicago. And Richard Roper is here.
Yes.
Violetta Potter Medic is here.
Yes.
She's here.
You know, they just played the little of the theme from Star Wars, and you might be wondering how that would tie in to the 20th anniversary of the Worldwide Toast. Well, here's the thing. Star Wars came out in 1977. Now, you have to be 21 to get into Harry Carey's. You go ahead 21 years, you're at 1998, and bingo, here we are 20 years later, the Worldwide Toast
so
to Harry Carey's.
Points of connectivity.
It was no accident, that choice of music. No accident whatsoever.
Makes perfect sense.
Right, yeah, completely clear. Crystal.
All I know is I'm wearing an astronaut suit.
That's amazing.
So you're into the space theme, Ro. You bought in.
Well, I had this in my closet. I wear this actually... To
bed.
To bed. When I play astronaut in bed.
Well, he's got an anti-gravity room. A lot of people don't realize that. They start kind of blow off some steam upside down.
I'm telling you, Ro, I think you've got game in this astronaut outfit.
I think you
should try it out tonight. Just see what happens.
You know, we're very on Kinsey here, very close to the this bar district down here on Hubbard and Kinsey. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to start working some of the.
You can do
the
well down there.
Here.
Work the scene.
Tonight, a little bit of how you doing, ladies?
I'm going up in the next Tesla.
Yeah, and my I just got back.
Oh my gosh.
Got back from space.
Is that a real astronaut suit?
Is that a spaceship with a Trans Am accent right there?
Yeah. Would you,
and you only weigh 26 pounds. That's the other great thing, right?
Right, space.
Your weight.
Yeah, this would be perfect. And ladies, I have a little bit of a problem. I need to use the bathroom. Could you unzip me back here? Because oh, there's God. A zipper that goes all the way up from your buttocksial region to your neck, and you can't. I don't know how women do this in dresses.
It's challenging.
You know? I mean, to get the that whole like zip me up thing.
See, right? we're more flexible.
No, you're not faking it. Well, that you're not. And, okay. And the thing is that it's like you can't get the deal all the way. But here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
If, God forbid, there were some sort of cosmic event and everyone were lost on Earth, I'd never be able to get out of this thing.
You know?
I don't know. How would I get out of this spacesuit?
There weren't someone there to help you.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
It's amazing. Rose in like full crisis mode because he's wearing a suit in a bar. And then you think of like Jim Lovell up there with like pliers and a screwdriver on the dark side of the moon, somehow bringing a ship home.
Right, with half the ship missing.
Yeah, with half the ship.
Half the ship
and never complain.
What we should do is just put stuff on the table and say, "Ro, that's what you got. See if you can unzip your spacesuit."
Yeah,
right. That's what they do.
That's all you have.
If you've seen that movie, that is the most amazing. I just watched that actually, Apollo 13. I just watched that again recently.
Were you wearing the spacesuit when you watched it?
Of course. Okay. I just wanted to practice.
That's on his Ed Harris white vest.
They had to actually take apart a three-ring binder with duct and use duct tape and like a vacuum tube to be able to actually save themselves from dying. Amazing. And that's the true story of what happened up there.
And there was never a moment where they said, "Houston, my butt crack is kind of uncomfortable in this suit." You know, that's not one of the most famous transmissions when you go to the NASA museum, you know. Famously, Houston,
right, we have Houston. Another problem.
We have a problem. I have to evacuate, and I am incapable of unzipping my suit.
Well, that's a negative, Apollo 13.
Yeah. You've got bigger problems.
You're
going
to have to hold it for about 7 days.
this is really. Although there are very famous stories of guys having to go in their own suits in space. Sure. That's that.
Well, what happens? They just sort of stays in there?
The first man in space, Alan Shepard.
Oh, right. Mm.
Very famously, he was left on the pad too long. As they were getting ready, and he had to go, and they were either going to have to scrub the mission or he had to go in his own suit.
Right, they had to scrub the suit later.
I would have scrubbed the mission.
He went in his own suit.
Good for him.
Yeah.
See, Violetta could never be an astronaut because the bathroom breaks. I just don't know how that would work out.
That's one of the many reasons.
Well, let me know when Slovenia gets its own space program.
Serbia.
And send you and Melania up into space together.
Serbia's too busy conquering this world to go to the next.
Yes, oh, really. By the way, I would like to point out they're doing an excellent job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, something slipped through the cracks, but we're having a comeback.
Sweeping the globe.
This is not our century, but look out for the 22nd century. It's going to be something.
The fourth. They were good in the fourth century, I think, too.
All right.
Longer than the Eagles without a win.
It's the Ro Con Show with Anna DeBlanzas live from Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse for 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Thanks to Budweiser. And Richard Roper is with us, and of course, Violetta Podermedic is with us.
Yes.
Our own Kevin Powell is right now down in Arizona, where he's covering both the Chicago White Sox, the newest addition to the WGN family, and the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, that's right.
And I saw our own Pete McMurray actually walking around here.
Yeah, I saw Pete. There's Pete.
Yep, he's wearing his full Cubs gear.
He's hard to miss.
Yeah, and someone's going to get him the memo that things have changed around here at WGN.
I think that suit actually flips inside out. It's a Sox uniform underneath.
I have the White Sox version of that, and I'll gift it to Pete.
That's a good idea. They need to make the reversibles. I think we all need those, right? The Cubs fans and us that are going to be paying close attention to the White Sox now.
Right. As a matter of fact, we've got a Cubs-White Sox preseason game, Cactus League game coming up in just a couple weeks here on WGN. That's going to be kind of fun. So, all right, let me just say this. It's the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey, which means that 20 years ago is when we lost Harry, which was a pretty momentous event. And I must say this, that in the passing of you know, a celebrity in Chicago or a celebrated Chicagoan, Harry's passing was marked by the greatest funeral in the history of going away ceremonies. Mm-hmm. It was insanely great. And Harry made everybody feel better who was ever around him or whoever encountered him or listened to him or watched him over the years.
Yes.
And so that's why we continue to do this every year to pay respect to him, but also to remember that, you know, when people are out there to make you feel good, they can make you feel good even after they're gone. So I think
it's
that's
true.
Pretty amazing.
So true.
Great memories many of us have. Any Cubs, just about any Cubs fan would have about Harry.
And his spirit lives on.
My mother told me a story yesterday about this that I had never heard before. Did you ever have, you know, they get a little older, they start telling you things probably shouldn't.
I had a life before you were born, you know.
My mother claims that Harry once kissed her on the lips.
See,
in this
I knew
restaurant.
It. Oh, jeez. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Wait till I tell Dutchie this.
No.
Now, Dutchie knows my mother, so this could be a real problem.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
Kind of
an interesting moment.
That sucks.
I'm sure there's probably more stories like that.
Yeah, he got away with a little bit. Harry did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What older guys do, and you know, mm-hmm. and he had, you know, those kind of those moist, pillowy lips, you know.
Oh gosh,
that you just want to be planted right on you.
Yeah. Don't take me there right now. We have a huge version of that. Big Harry's here, and his lips are prominent.
Hey, come on over, and I'll plant one on you.
It looks. It actually does look wet.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Capture that perfectly.
That may be the artistry of this. So if people want to come down to Harry Carey's on Kinsey and Dearborn, this is the this particular version of the Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey does feature this Big Harry, which was made by a Hollywood special effects guy who has created a model of like a 5x life size model of Harry's torso and head. No arms.
Gosh.
Just so he can't grab you.
Took him 6 months.
My mother never said that.
She didn't say that. It wasn't a free grab.
Yeah.
$30,000 in 6 months to build this lifelike version of Harry Carey.
I swear it's moved a couple of times. I've seen it move.
I really think so. The flesh is just amazing. So
yeah, that double chin action is like spot on.
So come out and see it.
Oh, I'm a Harry. Oh, I was gonna get all offended. All right, I get it.
Wow.
All right, I get what's going on there.
Amazing.
Actually, and Richard and I did the show a few years ago where we were toasting champagne to Harry. Mm-hmm. It was actually Budweiser and champagne glasses, as I seem to recall.
Yes.
Oh, that's how you class it up.
That's right. It's the king of beers. So that's what we did. And Jim Cornelison, of course, the great Chicago Blackhawks game figure who shows up and does the national anthem every night and just stirs a nation when he does it.
Yes, he does.
When he hit the high note as he was singing the Take Me Out to the Ball Game, all of the glasses exploded in our hands.
Hundreds of glasses.
Yes, exploded.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
On cue.
Yes, and I
have never seen that before.
Yeah, well, when you see that on YouTube and it's there, you will never look at me the same way again.
The flinch about a tenth of a second before it happens.
I've seen the look on your face in these moments, Ro, and it's quite spectacular.
Yeah.
You don't really hide your sort of emotions when these things happen.
No, I didn't hide my emotions
scary,
day.
Right?
Oh, man, it was amazing.
Well, it goes off, and I'm like, I think I ran the other way.
It explodes, and even that, you know, that Hollywood glass can still, you got to close your eyes, you know. You can still get hurt by it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's
the breakable glass.
Candy glass. But
I'm glad you weren't wearing glasses.
No, well, I was, but I was wearing the ones that don't have the lenses in them.
Yeah.
Was,
you have my kind of glasses.
Yeah, kind of like you. Yeah. All right. We've got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes. It's freaking me out, man.
Feel like you're in space?
It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper is with us.
Yes.
Violetta Potter Medic is up on stage with us at the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey from Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse, all brought to you by Budweiser. And we're getting ready. The toast itself is coming your way in about an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
It's a big, and this is the worldwide toast. This is where every continent, and this here, it's every continent is going to do it. Of the seven continents.
Isn't that incredible?
Even Antarctica.
Even Antarctica. I was going to ask you about the seven continents since you're a traffic reporter, but
I don't know if that goes right.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's not.
I can name them all. North, South America, Australia, mm-hmm. Antarctica, mm-hmm. Europe, mm-hmm. Africa. Mm-hmm. Did I name seven?
Mm-mm. There's one more.
There's one more, but it's an obvious one.
They were a super group in the 80s.
Wait, what? Asia.
It was the heat of the moment.
I knew it. I just wasn't thinking. I missed that on the map.
Yeah. Wow.
Got it.
Yeah,
Nailed it.
Yeah, right.
And that's east of here.
Or west of here.
No, the map is flat the way I'm looking at it.
How do those people in Antarctica not fall off?
Right.
Antarctica.
How's the South Pole cold?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That, by the way, that's still a best of moment from Violetta's career here with us on the Rokan Show, which I thought that was going to be her last moment at the Rokan Show.
It didn't seem that way.
When she couldn't understand why the South Pole was cold when it's south.
You'd think it's hot.
I know.
Amazing. Yeah,
it's hotter.
True.
Yeah.
We're all learning together on the show.
Iceland is green and Greenland's icy. You know, it's crazy.
She started with us when she was in fifth grade.
That's true.
And she's now only in sixth, so that's how that's gone. All right. Are you ready? Here's what we're going to do for the top five. We are going to do the top five greatest Harry Carey impressions of all time.
I must be number six.
How about that? All right. So here you go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Three, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right.
That's what we're going to do. This is tough competition, right? I mean,
You think about
it? This is tough. I mean, there's so many people do a Harry Carey impression.
True. Right.
And some do it really well and some don't. But it turns out that it's like a baseball thing. It's guys who have no connection to the Cubs or the White Sox.
Sure.
Or to St. Louis or the A's, the other two teams that obviously Harry ever broadcast for.
Yeah.
They still do it. It's like a thing.
Yeah.
Well, and so many comedians do it, too, throughout time.
Right. What is it all about?
Yeah.
So we check in at?
Number five.
T.J. McFarland. Right? Now, he grew up in the Chicago area. He grew up in Palos Hills. So that's how this works. Right?
Sure. Mm-hmm. He's allowed to do it.
Yes. And now, here he is. T.J., because he plays down in Texas, get a little bit of a, Texas drawl.
And then pitch it to that Ed Batten. I'd love to see him swing the bat. It's Kevin Gassman. A lot of people don't know this, but if you spell it backwards, it's namesake. It's a lineup for you. First place of the AL Northern Division. That's the Orioles for you.
Yeah, he was in and out of it there.
Now, I mean, I know he played in the minors in Texas, and he plays in Baltimore.
Yeah.
But what the hell accent is that?
I don't know. That was very unique.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there was something to it.
A for effort.
Yes, we're gonna give it. We're gonna give that to him. All right, checking in at
number four,
Elliot Johnson doesn't do too bad of an impression either. Now, he's played all over, right? He with the Rays, the Royals, the Braves, the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been around. But again, this is the kind of impression that you learn inside the locker room.
Hot mustard. I like that on my hot dog. But I tell you, we got that Simmons fella playing shortstop today. He's from Curacao. And I hope we don't lose him in the sun. But I've been there. It's sunny. The sun shines. 360 days a year. And if he loses it in the sun, I just don't understand. Because it's sunny.
I feel like these guys are doing Will Ferrell doing it.
You might be onto something there.
I think that might be what they're doing.
Yeah. But again,
I like it, though.
It's a baseball thing.
Yeah. For baseball players, they crack me up.
They crack themselves up. You know, here's the thing about being a baseball player, and Ryan Debser's going to join us in just a little bit, and so is Ryan Sandberg.
Oh, wow.
The two Ryan, your Ryan and your Ryan.
Uh-huh.
And that the they spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
More than any other sport.
Yeah, that's true.
These guys are together. You know, it's like they play almost every day. They get maybe a day off a week. Some weeks they don't get a day off later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and they got to do something to keep each other entertained. Otherwise, someone's going to rip somebody else's face off.
They're very silly. They're the silliest of all the athletes, and especially the bullpen guy. I mean, look at the couple of the dancing last year.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes they're out there for 8 hours, and then they get in for two pitches, and then they go home. You know, so they, you're right. They're very silly.
Yes, yes.
I like that.
Yes, they are.
They're goofy.
I'm really having trouble figuring this whole thing out.
Space thing?
You know, I sat in the pitch meeting for this. With Grant DePorter, and you know, he had a full explanation of why this outer space thing was an important theme for us.
And then you forgot it when we were trying to remember why it was a space theme.
No, he had a whole argument at the meeting.
Very good.
And it was like this whole thing about Harry and space and these important things. You know, like remember he had the 108 idea.
Yes,
right. There was
who can forget
108th season for the Cubs. And
108
stitches on the baseball. Right. Blah 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 blah. And that's why they were going to win the World Series, and they did.
They did. Mm-hmm.
So you know, ever since then, people believe everything Grant says.
Yeah, it's true.
This is a terrible mistake because I believe that Harry had some kind of a relationship to space, and it was just a way to get me to wear a space suit at this thing.
I'm getting so many questions from people about this, and I'm telling them now that, you know, at this point, you know, I believe the sun is 93 million miles from the Earth, and that's how far we are from connecting to anything Harry Carey related at this point. Grant actually pulled a hamstring stretching this one.
But I will say this.
He did.
Come on out to see this giant Harry head, unbelievable when you see it here at Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse. It's all brought to you by Budweiser.
Did you guys know that Harry was 83 when he died? And if you add 8 and 3, it's 11. And that Apollo 11 is a space related thing.
Right. Yes, that's the first landing on the moon.
Yeah. Yet another one.
You know, if you added anybody's age, whether they're 11 or 99, that it would then relate to one of the missions that went into space.
Richard, just get on board with this, okay? Get on board.
I don't like your attitude, young man. All right, we continue on with the top five five Harry Carey impressions of all times. Checking in at
number 3.
All right, John Campanera, a Chicago native.
Yes.
He nails the whole thing, the
absolutely
facial expressions and the entire deal. He's Harry Scary.
You know, here's a guy who grew up in the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, one of those islands where the sun shines 365 days a year, and he misses a pop-up in the sun. I just can't figure it out.
He actually, you know, the other part is too. He's got the phlegm component exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And it's kind of a fun love. It's like a tribute to Harry Carey's fun-loving side. You know, like it's respectful in some way.
You know, Harry called a lot of sleeper games, especially on the West Coast.
Yeah.
You know, like or in Houston and the old Astrodome, and it was you know empty, and the game was boring, and they had to tell stories.
Yeah.
And
he was good at that.
It was amazing. Here's more of Campanera.
Here's a guy, Danny Jackson, who's 1-16 on his last 17 starts, and he's making $2.2 million a year. I just can't figure it out. How does he look the owner in the eye when he collects his check? He's got to have a ski mask on and a gun.
That's great.
Wow.
He totally nails it.
He does.
Totally nails it. All right, checking in at
number 2.
Ryan Dempster. He is the former Cubs pitcher, an American hero, if there has ever been one. And he will be joining us coming up in just a few minutes on the stage here. And for those who are in attendance, wait to see how Ryan is presenting himself here today.
He's a Canadian hero, too.
Yes, he is a Canadian hero, actually. That's absolutely true.
Maple Leaf.
Yep. I would say that of active and former players, Ryan Dempster wins the best Harry Carey impression.
Everybody, Brian's lineup was brought to you by Taco Bell. Get yourself a Gordito. Leading off is Starling Castro playing shortstop. Taco Bell, think outside the bun. Well, Derek Jeter still got stuck on 2999, going for his 3,000th hit. Heck, I remember when Ernie Banks was going for his milestone. Oh, my God, there's the pitch, and it's a base hit to right field, and here comes out the Yankee dugout. Derek Jeter getting mobbed by his teammates.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
That's great.
We'll talk to Ryan coming up in just a few minutes. And finally, we check in at
number one.
Now, Will Ferrell. See, this is the thing that Grant tried to explain to me about why this makes sense that we're talking
about thing.
Harry Carey in space.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live did his Harry Carey, Space the Infinite Frontier.
Okay.
And it was, if Harry Carey were a Carl Sagan-esque character who had a PBS show that explained space.
Gotcha.
What would that sound like?
Hey, now, kid, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What?
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser. Would you?
I'm confused.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
I don't know how to answer that.
It's not rocket science. Just say yes and we'll move on.
It's beautiful.
So that 47-second skit is what led to all of this? Is that what
right.
you're saying? Okay.
That's that exactly know. What right. happened okay. right here for the 20th Annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Right. It makes sense.
That makes
made sense in Grant's head. It's going to make sense out here. All I can tell you is that Ryan Dempster is going to join us coming up on the stage in just a few minutes. I think you're going to want to see that. If you're in the neighborhood, I get here to see this presentation. If not, please please listen on the radio. Or you can watch this on the Facebook Live presentation, the Toast to Harry Facebook page. So all that, because that's really going to be something coming up. All right, let's... you know what? One more Will Ferrell.
Why not?
If we might as well try to explain it. Yeah.
Hi, Doctor. Have you ever seen an eclipse?
Yeah, I've seen that.
You know, if you stare at it head on, it'll burn your eyes out.
Well, it's not best to stare at the sun during an eclipse. Isn't it?
But it's hard not to. I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess.
Okay.
Let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WG, and Richard Roper is with us.
Yes.
And I have to say, now I saw this character walk in earlier, and there is a there's a man here. Who is
Roddy Woo's here? All right. It's good to see Roddy, baby.
Oh my gosh!
By the way, this is all brought to you by Budweiser. What we're doing here today, and it is Harry Carey back from the dead. But although
I just gave up Budweiser for Lent. I did. It's only Bud Light now. It's just my waistline was taking a punishing. Wow, look at all these people. Look at everybody that came out here tonight. Thanks for coming out. This is fabulous. Grant and Porter and his lovely wife, Joanne, every year putting on this amazing event. So many people. A giant statue of me right there.
How do you feel about that, Harry? It's five times the size of your head.
I think it looks amazing. I mean, that is... spectacular. I got a chance to meet the artist Kevin who put that together, and he's going to make me a matching one, and they're going to be car ends instead of bookends. I'm going to Put one on each of my end of my car.
Fantastic.
Did you ever think that 20 years after you passed on that there would be this kind of celebration for you?
You know, I truly blessed. I have so many great fans and people who appreciated my love of baseball.
Yeah.
I think that came down to a lot of it was I related with everybody because I was a fan myself.
That's,
you know,
true.
Not just of the Cubs. Of course, I love the Cubs. I love the White Sox. I love the Cardinals when I worked there. But I love the game of baseball, and to see everybody here, I think that's a common bond we all share.
That's beautiful. And we should also point out that Harry's wearing a suit of a color that does not exist in nature and has never been seen since. It's a beautiful suit.
With
beautiful.
With matching shoes. I love it. The whole ensemble.
It's my Easter outfit, you know. It's yeah. right around the corner.
Yeah. Could go for Mardi Gras. I mean, whatever you wanted.
We're, sure. we're only 6 weeks away. We're good to go.
A Thursday night at Harry Carey's.
And whatever
anytime.
Works.
This is fabulous.
All right, well, this, I suppose the gig is up because you've been, now this, for those who cannot see this because this is radio and this is an unfortunate thing, this is one of the best Harry Carey impressions of all times in terms of the physical look.
No question.
Because you look exactly like Harry Carey. You've been walking around right. the bar as Harry Carey, talking to people, taking pictures
that's
with people.
That's Kevin. That's the artist.
Thank you, Harry. But what people don't...
What's Kevin backwards?
Don't...
Nevik?
Oh.
Very good.
It's got a hyphen, a little thing above the eye. What do they call those?
Schwa.
A dot. Yeah, I think that's what they call it.
A dot.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, the point is...
Yes.
That that's people him. Have been talking to and taking pictures with Harry Carey, and they don't realize that this, ladies and gentlemen, is Chicago Cubs legend Ryan Dempster.
Oh, that's right.
You wouldn't even know.
All right. How about that?
Right? Is that not something else?
That is not something else.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, how many hours did it take to do this?
Where is he? You said he was up here. Where is he at?
Right through the rabbit hole now. Right through right. the looking glass.
That's where it is, yeah.
I'm freaking out.
Yeah. Well, what inspired you to, I mean, obviously, thank you for doing this today. This is amazing. But how many hours and what kind of a personal cost was this to you?
You know, when you got a chance to be with everybody like this is no cost at all. It was.
There you go. That's the right answer.
No, you know, the more I think about it, the chance to relate and have fun and enjoy a story during a baseball game. What goes on nowadays is they're talking about who sent out a tweet to somebody, and then they're talking about, you know, somebody posted something to some sort of QuickGram picture. And we just love telling stories. And, you know, you're up there, and the baseball game's going on. And I love that all the people are here. Bill and Kathy Johnson in the back. Bill's having a birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Kathy. Good to see them. They made it here today.
and what I used to love, that's Harry.
How about the Cubs this year, huh?
How was something, huh?
Man, they're putting together. They just signed Yu Darvish. Which is, did
exciting.
You know that Yu Darvish spelt backwards is Yu Darvish?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
It's funny how that works.
All right, Lent's over.
There's the Budweiser.
Let's go for the ice cold Budweiser.
So do you get the sense, you pointed at something really important. Now, because there's so much graphic technology that's used to describe what's going on in the baseball field, they don't have those lingering hours of time in a baseball game to tell these winding stories. I used to love it when Harry would tell a story about going out the night before to go drinking and carousing with the umpires, right? And a guy would miss a call, and he would talk about how, you know, what they were having at Eli's for dinner the night before.
Yeah, well, it's hard always sometimes for those guys to make the right call. Like, people always want to say, oh, umpires, you know. They get it wrong, and then they would go to replay now. We always micromanage. Truth is, they've always been terrible.
No.
No, they have. It's just facts. I mean, just think about it. You blink. You miss the call just because you blink. Like, to ask those gentlemen to have the ability to not blink, I think, is unrealistic in that job.
Probably is,
yeah. The guys are throwing balls at hundreds of miles an hour, and the guys are swinging big pieces of lumber. I'm going to blink. And then you combine that with the fact that you're at Gibson's till 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Pounded shots with Tony in the back coat room. then yeah, you're going to miss a call or two. It happens.
That's true. Although, it could be a very good Crazy Glue endorsement for Major League Baseball. They did it that way.
Crazy Glue their eyes shut.
Yeah, it opened. It just opened. Just so they never blink again.
Sleeping would be tough.
Well, I don't know. I would imagine.
Have to wear one of those eye patches that look like sunglasses.
Like the umpires sleep on the road. It seems to me that the game has changed a lot since you were calling the game. What do you think is the worst thing, Harry, that has happened to baseball?
Wow,
and the best.
I think the one of the worst things that happened in baseball was when they stopped serving after the seventh inning.
Yeah.
I thought that that really, you want to talk about causing disruption. Now somebody gets uneasy, they're taking their clothes off, and then they run across the field. If he was allowed to keep drinking, that would have never entered his mind. He gets frustrated. That's say, serve all the way. Give him one on the way out the door to go. It's like instead of a schedule, I already got 18 pocket schedules. How about like ice cold Budweiser on the way out? Wouldn't that be great?
A roadie.
It's true.
He's making a lot of good points. A lot of good points,
I
got to say.
All right, so I got to go back to this. Let me just talk to Ryan Dempster for just a moment, if you don't mind, Harry. I don't know. Maybe you do mind. I don't know. You paid for all this. Maybe you don't want to. But how long did it take you to get up like this, to get the makeup on?
You know what? It took me like... probably close to an hour and a half. I did it. I've done it for the third time. Cheryl Gorey, she's a makeup artist here in Chicago, and she comes down and we set up, and she does all this work and really does an amazing job. Like,
no one knew. You walked in here.
Nobody.
But first of all, you walked
the
in.
The clothes are mine, though. I take these.
Well, I don't doubt that. Yeah.
Very nice.
For a second. But you walked in, and I was trying to think. Now, it must be somebody walking in. Yeah. And I thought. There were a few suspects in my head. You were not one of them. And you're walking around doing this stuff, and I thought, well, maybe this is just a guy who everybody says looks like Harry, and so he puts on a little makeup, and he puts on a lavender suit, which I've not seen since Batman 68. And this,
sick pants, too.
This is,
yeah,
oh,
the pants
yeah.
are beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You really, I hope you do wear this to
For
church
sure.
on Easter, because this is,
thank you.
This is really, you look like an Easter egg.
He does.
And people, it's amazing. Then Grant came up and explained to me, you'd worked your way all the way to the bar and then back. Yeah. And people were taking pictures of you.
And then through the kitchen. The kitchen was really fun.
And they didn't know, they had no idea.
Yeah, I locked everybody up. The line stopped moving real quick. Just for like 3 seconds. It was like, what?
People were asking if he's available for like
we're going to tell them this at the staff meeting, and nobody's going to believe us. Harry came through here.
Yeah. Ryan, have you gone incognito as the Harry Carey before?
I did a couple other times, yeah. So did the seventh inning stretches at one time, and then did the roast that George Went at Second City, which was a lot of fun, too.
That's awesome.
Like you asked the question earlier, and I went as Harry, and I'll never forget this, and there was a game. It was in 1987. Jerome Walton was the center fielder, won the Rookie of the Year. And there's two outs in the ninth inning. A tying run was on second base. I'm watching this game in my little bedroom in Gibson's, British Columbia, on Reed Road. I had this little I can remember it clearly. And I already kind of liked him. Mm-hmm. And me and my brothers would goof around and talk like him and stuff like that. And so this ball gets hit. Should be the end of the inning. Sean Dunstan's running back. Jerome Walton comes running in, and the ball falls in. It's like, I got it, you got it. I got it, you got it, falls in. And I'll just never forget Harry's call. He was like, there's a drive to the left field, Dunstan's under, it should be the game, in comes the center fielder, and Jesus Christ.
And that was it.
And I was like, I looked at my brother and go, you can't say Jesus Christ on the air.
Wow.
And it was just like really just genuine, and it was heartfelt, and it wasn't disrespect to the Lord. It was just in that moment, he just couldn't believe it. And it was so real. And I'm like, I just started watching Cubs games whenever I could and just listened to them. And, when they didn't have the Kiss Cam, you don't have a Jumbotron, and they'd sit there and they'd have like, they on the TV back and forth, and there's this couple above the dugout, and she's good looking and he's good looking, and they're kind of making out, and then they go to a pitch, and then they show him kissing, and she's in a bikini, and they're doing all this, and then they just go upstairs, and Harry says to Steve, he's like, I finally figured it out, Steve.
He kisses her on the stripes, and she kisses him on the balls.
Oh, jeez.
I remember that.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember that.
Things that would never get...
It's like you can't say that, can you? No. And then everybody related.
Wow. So clever and funny and told a great story. Fantastic. And loved the Cubs and loved who, who he was calling for. And loved the fans.
Passion.
You see these journals that he has of time spent with people.
Well, okay, all right, Ryan, let's not romanticize that too much. That was a dodge for the IRS.
Yeah, good point.
He was writing in his journal how much money he was spending in every bar so he could write it off at the end of the year as entertainment of the year.
Lesser potential clients always. Sponsors for the team.
Right.
New managers.
Right.
Free agent players.
That's how that goes.
That's justified.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you can write a treadmill off at your home, but I can't write off dinner with Wilt Chamberlain? That just seems like it doesn't make any sense.
You got a point there, Harry. You got a big point.
You know, there's a great, you know, speaking of those moments, that when if you ever call Harry Carey, you're put on hold, they run this tape of him describing Marla Collins, who was the ball girl back in the 80s at Wrigley Field. And she would wear these short shorts, and then the satin Cubs jacket, and then run out and hand the balls to the catcher, to the umpire. And then, you know, every once in a while she'd stop and grab a ball. And so so all these guys who were, you know, at this point well into their 60s, like the three guys in the broadcast booth are all discussing Marla. And at one point, Harry goes, you know, I saw Marla with her shorts off. Because she was wearing a dress at some event, and then they all realized, oh, my God.
What is he talking about?
Where did you see Marla with her shorts? I know that. Oh, and geez. Then they cannot stop laughing at each other, and they can't breathe.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, there's like a Grand Slam home run.
Oh, gosh. Almost didn't care.
Right. There was a guy runs on the field. Wow. There was a billion things to actually describe on the field, and yet they couldn't. For about a good 3 minutes, couldn't get their breath back.
Oh, that's
a great moment.
Harry got away with a lot back in the day that I think 2018, you really couldn't.
He could call an entire inning and never, and it'd be, you know, just talking about whatever. Like, you know, I was down at the hardware store on Tuesday. ground ball over to first under the pitcher, one away. Yeah. And did you know that on Saturdays at the local hardware store in Evanston that they have 2-for-1 garden hoses? So it's like, if, you know, you're always looking for that one attachment piece. Well, now you don't even have to just, you can get one giant hose and 2-0 here. And if you just run that from the backyard to the front yard, you can have a sprinkler assist ground ball the third on to first. That's the end of the inning.
It's why you loved him.
But the truth, too, at that time, that's a total uneventful inning. That was way better hearing him talk than just ball one, ball two.
For sure.
Absolutely.
It was so good.
And it used to be in his contract they would come over and do radio for a couple of innings because, you know, there were guys who would like, there are guys in their contract where they just leave for a couple of innings and go have a hot dog or a beer or go pee, whatever it's going to be, right? He wanted to come over and do radio. That was his thing. He wanted to make sure he was doing that and doing, because it was, I don't know, it spread out, you know, who he was and what he was doing. They don't make them like him anymore, right? They're so confident. And, I mean, listen, here's a guy who faced death, right? I mean, the story of Harry Carey should be a movie. Has all the different things that he went through.
It will be.
You know, he got hit by a car, right? And he, everything, every bone in his body was broken. He thought he was going to die. And he comes back and he works, you know, one season for Charlie Finley in Oakland and then comes out to the White Sox, has a great career there with Jimmy Pearsall. Those moments where Jimmy Pearsall's literally discussing his testicular situation.
Oh, my gosh.
And while they're trying to sell us Falstaff beer, it was some of the greatest
amazing
television and radio of all times, right?
And he would
completely
broadcast
empty Comiskey Park.
Yeah, exactly, because we'd go and he'd broadcast from the center field bleachers.
Uh-huh.
And the beers would just pile up. Everybody wanted to send him a beer. You know, there'd be like 30 beers. But he was like in the bleachers broadcasting, and he had the net. Not that anybody was ever going to hit the ball 480 feet to dead center. You know, the old Comiskey was 440, I think, center field. You know, Dick Allen would come up and Harry'd be out there with the net. You know?
Dave Kingman might have hit it out there. I'm not going to go out to the bleachers without a net. I didn't have a glove, and I'm not really good with my hands, the bare hands, so I needed a net.
That's awesome.
He would go out shirtless too, and he had like the
what?
Like in a certain, oh yeah, oh there's pictures
shirtless?
All over the
I've never
all over
seen
this restaurant.
Shirtless.
Oh yeah. he would go out there shirtless, and
if he rocked dad bod before dad bod became popular.
Yeah. Totally. And he had like the saggy nipple thing going on too, like an old man thing.
The black socks with the dress shoes,
right.
And the shorts.
I mean, I have that going right now, and I get it. And I'm like, I would never do that. And he was like, there was a certain age, right? Those guys had seen poverty and war and all that, and they were just like, I don't care. I'm gonna, this is the way I am. And you know,
let
you
it
just
all hang
give
out.
Give it to him. He was amazing.
Amazing.
All right, well, Ryan Dempster, hang out for the Worldwide Toast coming your way in about 40 minutes from right this moment, right. A little less than that, about 35 minutes away. So the great Ryan Dempster, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
We're all right, look at that right there. I could see myself in your shirt, sir. That is fabulous.
It's like a disco ball.
The 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray at Harry Caray's Italian Steakhouse, brought to you by Budweiser, continues right here. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis live from the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray, Harry Caray's Italian Steakhouse, brought to you by Budweiser. Here is the football coaching legend, Marv Levy, joining us right now. And, Coach, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Ro. Thank you, and all the great fans that are here as well.
I got to just ask you, what did you think of the Super Bowl, one of the best ever?
I sure was. It was exciting as can be, and what really made me happy, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, Frank Reich, played for us with the Buffalo Bills. Frank was just 2 or 3 days ago hired as the new head coach with the Indianapolis Colts. But it was a great Super Bowl.
I mean, it is interesting because you see the coaches, guys who come out of coaching programs, guys who had great head coaches that they either played for or that they were assistants with. Are having great success. There's great classes of these guys that are coming. What do you think about the Mr. Nagy, the new coach of the Chicago Bears?
Well, I don't know him well, but I know they put some good study in on him, and the little bit I've heard has been encouraging, but I don't know any more than some of the doggone good fans probably know about him.
Yeah.
Frank Reich I know about.
Yeah. Let's talk about the play calling a little bit by the Philadelphia Eagles. That was it. They made in the Super Bowl some pretty dramatic calls. They're not very conservative. They were, letting the ball fly, trick plays, things like that. Is that the kind of thing that you just have to do because it's the last game of the season? There's really nothing to lose, especially if you're the underdog.
Well, once again, I keep referring back to Frank, who was the offensive coordinator. Frank was the quarterback coach for Peyton Manning during his rookie year. Mm-hmm. He was the quarterback coach for Philip Rivers in San Diego Chargers during his year. And then brought along Carson Wentz. When he got hurt, they brought in a backup quarterback who everybody else in the league thought was over the hill, Nick Foles, and he did that. So I wasn't surprised. Yeah, but the play calling was just blow you away.
It was very
entertaining.
It's the way football should be. So, and this year, as we look ahead to the Chicago Cubs, they just got Yu Darvish, obviously. This is a big deal for they shored up the pitching staff for sure. And, just trying to get some offense. You think they're going to have a good season on the north side?
Oh, yeah. I live fairly close. I live in Lincoln Park and grew up way back in the 30s. And 40, that's how old I am, folks. as a Cubs fan, even though I lived on the south side at that time. And I remained one through all the years, and I'm excited for the Cubs.
Yeah, and the Sox are going to be exciting this year, too. Best prospect class in all of baseball, actually. So it'll be fun to watch some of those kids come up.
Yes, it will. The hopes are always high.
Yes, and you'll be able to hear those broadcasts right here on 720 WGN. It has been since 1943 that the White Sox were on WGN, and this season they return to 720 AM. How about that?
Well, that too is exciting. Things keep evolving. And Cubs, White Sox, what a great pair.
Yeah, it is true. Coach, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it as always. Coach Marv Levy, the legend, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray coming your way in about 25 minutes from right here, right now, at Harry Caray's on Kinsey. Judy Pilek's got the news right around the corner. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis live for the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray. Harry Caray's Steakhouse is all brought to us by Budweiser.
Yay!
You know what? Budweiser always gets the biggest ovation here until this very moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome to the stage the great Dutchie Carey, Harry's widow,
yes.
is with us.
Good to see you, Dutchie.
And Baseball Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg. All right, now, I want to just, let's start, Dutchie, let's just start with you here. We've been doing this for 20 years together now, 20 years. I've missed a couple of them, and
that?
I don't know what they did. They hired some other radio folks that just don't know what they're doing. And they brought me back, and Grant talked me into wearing a space suit because he claimed that there's something to do with space here by calling the space the infinite frontier. Why am I wearing a spacesuit? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Right.
Except that they're going to toast it, Harry in space tonight or something like that.
Something like that, right?
NASA.
No one knew Harry better than you. This makes no sense, does it?
Right, okay. But it's fun.
Yeah.
And Harry would appreciate that,
yeah,
I'm
that's
sure.
right.
So
I definitely don't get it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't get it either.
That's number one. Number two, I did not get the memo.
Yeah.
So I came tonight to sign Randberg.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
Signed Randberg.
Signed Randberg, yes.
That's great.
Well, thank God you did, because I got to tell you something about this spacesuit.
Uh-huh.
It's really hot in here, mm-hmm. and you can't take it off to go to the bathroom. So... Something, you know, Mercury 1 could happen right here in this in this suit before it's all said.
Well, I'm over 50, and I'd have a big problem with that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I am too. I know how
are you over 50?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as anybody, at least according to my driver's license. All right. Let's talk about a couple of things here. First of all, this, you know, isn't it amazing, the outpouring every year for Harry?
Every year, the same old.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't walk through the bar.
No. And I have a story I have to share with Dutchie. I told uh-huh. a little bit earlier, but I know you weren't in the room when I told it, so I got to tell it to you now. I was talking to my mom last night, and who's, you know, lives near you, the neighbor, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she told me a story that I had never heard before. And, you know, there's a certain time, I guess, when your parents get a little older, they want to, you know, like, tell you things, they confess things to you, you know?
Yes.
So this is a confession that... She was once in here having dinner with her friends, and Harry came over to the, you know, as he did. Harry had dinner, unlike a lot of other celebrity-related restaurants. Harry ate in here quite a bit.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
He'd come
right.
over, and he would come over to people's tables and sit down. And my mother claims, this is all brand new to me, that she got up to get a picture with him, and he kissed her on the lips. Do you believe that story?
And he did what?
He kissed her on the lips, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would believe that.
Okay, all right.
Dutchie's like, yes.
Yeah. Hey,
doesn't hesitate.
Bro, I got one myself.
Yep. You got kissed on the lips?
No, I did not. But we were upstairs at a party early 2000s, and my mom was here.
Mm-hmm.
She was probably at that time about 80 years old, happy to be in Chicago. She had big black glasses. And I actually have a picture of her puckering up and Harry puckering up, and they both puckered up at the same time.
Oh,
you're Mrs. Sandberg. They puckered up and they got a kiss. And I have a picture of it. And
oh my God!
Harry was loved.
He was loved.
Oh, he was.
Yes. And he was a lover, not a fire.
So
he
I
was,
believe
yeah.
I believe your story that's because why, I have the same one.
Yeah.
That's why I really didn't kiss him too often.
Right.
He got kissed enough.
You did not know where those lips had been, right? That is really true. That's the thing about Harry. I mean, I, you know, in this era, I hate to bring this kind of thing up, but it was like, Mom, no. And she was
like,
a
special moment for her.
No, no. So, I think that's a claim to fame. And I've told this story before. I once got kissed on the lips accidentally by Sid Luckman, the great Chicago Bears
uh-huh.
legend,
uh-huh.
Sid Luckman. And they always refer to Sid Luckman as the last good quarterback the Bears ever had. And, of course, he retired in 1952. But there was that he saw me at an event, thought I was a relative of his, and he kissed me right on the lips. And I was like, oh, my God, Hall of Famer Sid Luckman.
Yeah,
Canton,
yeah, yeah.
Just kissed me on the lips right there. I'm not going to ask that of you, Rhino.
Well,
That was coming.
That's cool, but I was actually kissed on the lips by a man on a baseball field when I was in a baseball uniform.
Mm-hmm.
In Montreal, 1989, we had just clinched. Mitch Williams, the Wild Things, just struck out. The last guy on a check swing, I think it was Mike Fitzgerald, who charged the field. Don Zimmer, the manager at the time, was going around the crowd. He looked at me and gave me the biggest kiss I've ever gotten. The Zim, Popeye.
Zimmer was one of those guys who had those puffy wet lips. Too, right? He was, you know, the old guys all have that.
Yeah.
He had a plate in his head and puffy lips. I mean, that's
one of those moments, so that's acceptable after you've done something like that.
Is.
In a Cubs uniform, for sure.
I think this is taking a very strange turn. I don't know about the rest of you. All right, we're going to come back. We have the Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray coming up. This happens every year. This is all over the world at 6:30 Chicago time. People raise an ice cold Budweiser to Harry Caray all over the world, including this year they're doing it for the first time ever in Antarctica.
How about that?
How about that?
So, isn't that great?
It's cold beer there.
They're really cold.
Yes.
You want a cold beer, that's where you go.
I learned in college, don't freeze beer. It doesn't end well.
Yeah,
all right, we'll be right back with the Toast to Harry coming up. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlasis right here, 720 WGN. We are live from Harry Caray's Italian Steakhouse.
Woo!
Brought to you by Budweiser for the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray. And we've got Dutchy Caray up on the stage.
Yes.
We've got Ryan Sandberg up on the stage with us. We've got Dead Harry up on the stage with us. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. That's Ryan Dempster.
Somebody recognizable.
And we've got a Big Harry or Giant Harry. I forgot what. Were we calling him Giant Harry or Big Harry? Big Harry. Big Harry, which is the most amazing, lifelike silicone representation of Harry Caray you're ever going to see. Five times the size of his head. At least five times. I don't know, even 10 times the size of a head. That is precariously perched over us right now. And let's just hope that nothing bad happens here, Dutchie.
Everything stays intact.
That's all I'm hoping here. If Harry is really watching from above, I know what he's going to do to me right about now. And here's what we're going to do. We need everybody in the house to get an ice cold Budweiser. We need everybody at home to get an ice cold Budweiser.
Yes.
And we're going to coordinate this with all of the bars and restaurants around the world that are toasting, hundreds of them around the world, including people who are in tents in the Antarctic, right?
What's happening there?
250 penguins and them right now in the Antarctic are about to toast Harry Caray. That's coming your way in 2 minutes. We are live from the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray.
Yes.
Harry Caray's Italian Steakhouse. Brought to you by Budweiser. There are, I don't know what the code is for the number of people in this room.
No, but let's
but we're at
not
it.
Let the fire department know
we
at this moment.
We are at it, and we've got all the TV, as every year, all the TV stations are here. They're the only time of the year anybody's allowed to stand on the bar at Harry Caray's on Kinzie is when the cameras are all here.
This time of year. We're getting close.
That's true. We are getting close. We are about a minute and a half away from the Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray, and Ryan Sandberg is going to lead us in this coming up in just a moment. And what a great Hall of Famer, and one of the great ambassadors to baseball. And you got now Ryan Dempster, your next half generation, another great ambassador to baseball as well.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the one thing is baseball is supposed to be fun, right? That's the thing. It's supposed to be fun. I know it's business. I know people are making, you know, and people are trying to take the fun out of everything now. You know, you used to be able to go out and have fun, and now you can't have fun anymore. But baseball is back in Chicago. Pitchers and catchers have already reported. You're going to have 6 weeks away now from baseball starting in earnest, both on the north side and the south side. And again, we want to announce and welcome the Chicago White Sox to be a part of the family here at WGN as we start broadcasting their games, starting with their inaugural WGN broadcast, not since 1943, and I think Harry might have called this game, not since 1943 have the White Sox been on WGN, so we welcome them aboard as our our broadcast partners and part of the WGN family. And what a great institution. And baseball in Chicago, there's no better city in the world, would you imagine, to play baseball or to be a baseball fan?
No question. No question about that. And the best fans in sports. I think they really know the game. They participate. Long generations of fans and kids and grandkids going to some of the same ballparks like a Wrigley Field in particular. Not too much has changed, but except for the Cubs are a winning team now. That has definitely changed.
Yes.
Feel good about that.
That is something. That is something. That is correct. All right. Well, hold on. I got to open up my ice cold Budweiser right here, and I'm going to let you take it away. Ryan Sandberg.
Baseball fans, I want them to hear us on the moon, all right? I'm ready for some baseball. Are you ready for baseball? A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back for it.
Root, root, root for the Cubbies.
If they don't win, it's a shame.
For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Hey! Let's get some runs.
Harry, this is for you, Harry. This is for you.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanzas right here at the 20th Annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse.
Yes.
Brought to you by Budweiser.
Holy cow, has this been fun.
We've got...
Come on.
I like what you did there.
He's saying thank you.
We have Ryan and Ryan. Ryan and Ryan. Or both guys named Ryan. I don't know. However you want to do it. One guy's named Sign. I don't know. It's Ryan Dempster and Ryan Sandberg are with us to close this thing out. And by the way, Ryan, amazing job with the seventh inning
thank
stretch
you.
There. That's take me out of the ballgame. You got to be absolutely fearless to be able to sing in a situation like that.
Well, the first time I ever did it after I retired, I did it the next day. They asked me to do it the next year.
That was the most scared I've been at a ballpark ever.
I'll bet.
And you know what I thought about? I thought about this. I really thought back to, you know, I got to get take. Get take me out. I wanted to make sure I got the first word right. Then I'll be fine. But there was times out there I was thinking, wait, what's the first word again? So it was one of those things. So now it's... just kind of do it and have fun with it. Listen to it all those years as a player.
Yeah.
But to be up there with the mic and be handed it to it just after a double play ball, there's the mic and here's these people looking at you. I wanted to make sure I got the first word right on
yeah.
the song.
Yeah, I would say, Ryan Dempster, nothing scares you in public, does it?
I always felt like right before the stretch, if I was just tipsy enough, it was never a problem. Too tipsy and things start not making sense up there.
That's for sure. Well, you know, it is kind of a legendary story about Harry and actually drinking on the job because it's not illegal to drink on the air. Because if it were, I'd be in Guantanamo Bay by now. But very
true.
It is. But you can't. For broadcasters, it's the guy who's in charge, the engineer in charge of the broadcast, who has to be responsible not to be drinking because he's in charge, literally, of the transmitter lights. And that's the one reason that you can't drink, is that if you somehow get drunk and forget to check to make sure the transmitter lights are on and something runs into them, then you're responsible. So it's like a whole... That's the only
which
reason...
Which is great, because then you have a designated driver, too, at the end of the night. So you get done work,
yes.
the engineer, he's the one who drives you guys home.
Exactly right. That is how that goes.
You know what, though? That's what I think why the fans really related to Harry so much was as the game went on, the things that he would say
yes.
and mix up who was up the bat, and mix up the names. Well, the fans are doing the same thing in the stands. And so for them to watch that, they thought he was saying right on the money.
Yes.
So he was right along with the fans. He did the bleacher things
announcing out there, and I think that's why he was a fan's announcer, because he was a fan. And a few Budweisers throughout the game. I mean, everybody's doing the same thing. So he was just enjoying a baseball game.
And, you know, it's an interesting moment because he was a broadcaster at a time when you could tell the truth from the broadcast booth. You didn't have to worry that if you called out a player who wasn't keeping up, you know, a guy was making $2 million a year and was hitting 150, then there and... And he wasn't. I don't think Harry was ever cruel about it, but he was thinking the same. He was representing the fans, and the fans were having that same thought. And now you do that, and there's a team meeting, and you get thrown off the airplane, and you do stuff. You know, the world.
Hopefully,
is,
with a parachute.
Yes. the world has totally changed in this, and yeah. I think that's it. And I mean, there's some great broadcasters now. There, I mean, that are still, you know, can. You know, call a game and connect with the audience and all that. But you know, you do want a guy, especially in local broadcast, you want a guy who's going to represent that fan emotion.
Yeah, no, I think it's super important. Whether it's a home run call or how they talk to people, how they relate to their home fan base, the knowledge of the game, the storytelling. You know, like the old joke was that you never start, like when I got in to start doing broadcasting, they said, you never start a story with two outs. Right. Unless you're Vin Scully, yeah.
Right?
And like, I remember one night just sitting there watching the game, and two outs, and Vin Scully starts going on this story about how this young Dominican player grew up and his family, and he farmed, and it was two out, nobody on, 0-2 count when he started it. And like, next thing you know, there have been two pitching changes, the bases were loaded.
I know, he was always right on the money. I noticed that myself.
And then there would be like the bases loaded and a pop up, and he goes, and that's why they were farmers.
Like, how did he do that?
Oh. Yeah. I think that's harder to find nowadays,
yeah.
Those kind of storytellers. But,
right.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Harry's honesty, I took note of that as a player. I didn't want to be the guy that had the bases loaded, popped him up. I didn't want to be that guy on the highlight right. film. I didn't. And I thought about that at that's times. Funny. And, you know, he was announcing the games, and in my day, 1982 to 97, it was 162 games on WGN with Harry Carey. So he was going to be up there.
Right.
I did not want to be 0 for 30. I didn't want to be the guy that should have drove in that run. So I took note of that and really respected him so much as a guy that's announcing to not only the Cubs fans in Chicago but across the country about the game situation right there, that I took that somewhat to heart. That I didn't want to be that guy. Popped him up.
It was a motivator.
Especially, too, when you're so... these guys are with you all the time. Like, for me, I didn't have Harry call my games. I had Ron Santo, and it was the same type of feeling. Because I knew if I had a bad game and I passed Ronnie in the hall, it was going to be like...
Oh.
Like, he wanted to hug you, but he was still upset about the game. But when you had a good game, like, it was like I was like a 12-year-old kid that just hit the game-winning home run. And he just hugging you and like, oh, great game, you know, and like... You know, all the stories of Harry's the same way. He lived and breathed with his team and his guys. And a guy like Rhino, he had nothing but respect for. The guy yeah. played the game the right way.
Well, there
hard.
Was a Saturday afternoon in June of 1984 that some people might remember that pretty much cemented you were immune from criticism basically for the rest of your career after that particular game. So against the dreaded rival, St. Louis Cardinals. But
a lot of people don't know this, but before that game, Rhino and I, we were down in the underneaths of the stadium, which if anybody's ever been down there, John Dillinger used to run booze through there. Some sort of speakeasy hides down there. And we're in the depths, and we polished off, what, about a half a bottle of cough syrup.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And,
oh, gosh.
And, well, I did. Rhino said, Harry, listen, I'm going to go out. I'm going to have a great game today. I'm not sick, so I don't need any of that stuff. And he went out there, and he had one of the most memorable games that any Chicago Cub has ever had at Wrigley Field.
That's true.
Homer is off the Hall of Famer, Bruce Sutter. You showed him who the real Hall of Famer was that day, Rhino.
That's right.
That's great.
That was a good time, Harry.
Yes. And especially since Sutter had been a Cub, it may have been... the greatest baseball game I've ever seen. And with the possible exception, although I'm not certain, Game 7 of the World Series. You know, I mean, it's like to watch that game, because I was actually at that game, and I
We were sitting next to each other. And right next to each other in game 7.
Wow.
Oh, game 7, right? Yep.
Yeah. No, it was a Rhinos game, and I left.
Oh, sorry.
And then we got into the concourse, and so we thought we were going to watch a last out on TV, you know, in the hot dog stand at the concourse, and then boom, home run, got to run back out. An inning and a half later, we're like, all right, this one's over again. We run back out, we'll stand here. Boom, another one. We have to run back in. It was just one of those that Cubs fans, I think it's true of all baseball. Sox fans have these moments too, that there is no, you have a moment that the whole thing crystallizes for you, why you love the game, why it was so important to your dad, why it was so important to your grandfather, why you want it to be so important to your kids. And those are the kind of moments like that. And obviously for the entire generation now of Cubs fans, it's going to be game 7 of the World Series, as it was in 2005 for the Sox. You know, this is what, and you know, how many people are like, oh my God, I wish, you know, my dad had been here for this, or my grandfather had been here for this, or whatever it is.
But that game also really, for me, really spoke about what a team sport it is, because the Cubs were at the top. I think we were half a game up, half a game creeping to the top, got us closer, maybe half a game out at that point, and the 84 team and the players that we had, and just got Sutcliffe and just got Eckersley. It was about, if we were in fifth place and I had that game, wouldn't have been anything.
Oh, Bobby Dernier,
no question
too.
About it.
You know, you had these. Everybody was contributing that day.
No question, and it was really a threshold that year that said, you know what, this is something special here.
Yeah.
Not only for me as an individual player, but the team, and Dennis Eckersley. That was his first day in uniform at Wrigley Field, and he came in after the game, and it was later on. He goes. Sutcliffe tells me this. He said they're back in the jacuzzi, and Eckersley goes, "Wow, is every game going to be like that at Wrigley Field?" Because that was his first game there. He thought that was the norm, you know. And it was so it was something else.
I'm having this. I'm thinking in my mind's eye now, Dennis Eckersley in the hot tub with the porn mustache next to
feathered hair, beautiful.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. That's all
like,
I can. That's
like
all
a Vidal Sassoon commercial, right here.
He did. No, like the long hair, flowing hair.
Yeah.
On his way to the pump room right after.
But
that.
He gives like the head flip. It goes in slow motion. Like,
but the key to that was I was not in there.
Yes, I
heard that they were talking about that story there. I was not there.
Yeah, good.
So I'm very happy about that. Very
happy.
You
got to go immediately. I don't know. If Eckersley didn't pitch that day, why is he in the hot tub? That's another question. I don't know. I don't fully understand. All right. Well. Let's just talk a little bit about this year. Let's talk about both sides of town. Ryan, you and I were just talking about the Yu Darvish move. You really love it.
Yeah, I think it's a great move. I think I was saying to you, I think if not for two games in the World Series where he struggled a little bit, he would have been substantially more on the free agent market. And I think to say $126 million is a bargain. I just think it was a really good deal for the ball club. I think he wants to be here and he wants to win, and it's just another guy in the rotation that adds a piece. And for anybody who hasn't really paid much attention to Yu Darvish and him pitching, every single time he takes the mound, you might see 15 strikeouts. You might see a no-hitter. It's like the kind of guy who you pay to go see because he has that kind of ability. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good move for the club.
When he was in Texas, you'd see it, everyone's telling you, look down at your phone, you see a push notification from ESPN, turn on the TV now, you know, when Darvish was on the mound, because he would have a no-hitter going, you know, into the eighth or whatever it was. And he's just a consistently, he's got filthy stuff, as you kids like to say. I don't even know why, who came up with that? It's awful. But he's going to be an amazing addition. What do you think, I'll ask you this, Ryan, what do you think happens to Jake Arrieta here? Does he, I mean, you know, they're sitting out there, they're asking for the world, he and his agent, but do you think, I mean, he'll land somewhere, right? I mean,
he'll land somewhere, that's for sure. I don't know. I've been surprised at this offseason and how it would go. I was kind of leaning towards Jake coming back, but things did not work out, and for the Cubs to pick up Darvish the way that they did in his prime, a little bit younger, a guy that is striving to win a World Series, I think that move for the Cubs from the ownership and front office really, really sends a message to the whole team that they're trying to win a World Series ring again and get back to that that level of baseball. But Darvish, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch pitch. With Jake, I don't know. I mean, I've been surprised before. This going so long and these three top starting pitchers with Cobb in the mix there going so late.
you know what? I think it's just all business, and I think we're now at a point where maybe you know you don't really give away the 4-, 5-, and 6-year contracts. I think teams are trying to stay away from that. Teams have gotten trouble from that. Then they've had to minus those guys and start all over and then go young again.
Yeah.
I think these types of moves are very smart. They keep the cycle as far as keeping the players young. But as far as the Cubs, I think it's a very exciting move. Darvish behind a Gold Glove type of a defense that he's going to have with the Cubs. I think the Cubs get back to that type of a defense, the best in baseball, like they were 2 years ago. They have that ability. The players are young enough. They have the range. They have the energy. I think the offense picks it up, and a guy like Darvish with some run support. Ryan and I were talking about that. A guy like Darvish getting some early runs and now pitching and being
isn't it something?
I don't use the word filthy. I use the word nasty. He's nasty. So that's a whole another word.
I like nastiness.
Nasty.
It's evolved into filthy.
He has a chance to be nasty. Yeah. So I think it's a great combination. I think it's all good. And I have so much confidence in the Cubs right now in every move that they make.
Yeah.
It's always. When you just think about it just for a little bit, it's always for the betterment and trying to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Do you ever think, like, I'm just sitting here listening to you talk about, you know, contracts and stuff, like, for somebody like you, your generation, like, for me, I just finished playing 5 years ago, and I'm like, wow, I played in the wrong era. Like, like imagine when you were playing, like, hey, Rhino, we're only going to give you 5 years and $100 million.
I know.
That's all we can go.
Well, I invested pretty well, so everything's fine on that regard. But just
as far as the difference, like, to me, that amazes me when I look at where
it is.
Free agent contracts have gone and sports in general and the how high the salaries
are.
And
how far can it go from here?
And it's not even a, oh, man, I wish I made that.
You
it's
know, Ryan,
more of like, wow, well, it's amazing that's the kind of industry that it is. It's this multi-billion-dollar industry, and it's huge business sometimes.
Well, it's 7 games a week on TV on multiple channels. In my day, it was WGN. The only game on during the day at 1:20 was the Cubs.
It's on an app on your phone.
Harry and Steve. Yeah, it's on everywhere. Yeah, everybody's watching
on Twitter.
It. It's a very popular game. Everybody's watching. It's worldwide now. So it is big dollar. But I also think that it's also a little bit shorter window for the player because now it's like a 20, 21, 22-year-old player. The window's a little bit different, more on the younger side of things.
Harry Carey's for the 20th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey at the Steakhouse here at 33 West Kinzie in Chicago. And I want to thank everybody who helped make this thing all possible for us. Grant DePorter, Joanna DePorter from Harry Carey's, Mr. Richard Roper for coming out and joining us. And, of course, everybody here, all of our, we got Adam and Brian and Jeff, our producers and technical engineers, and Frankie O, the greatest bartender in the history of bartending.
Ryan Dempster, Ryan Sandberg,
Dutchy Carey, Marv Levy, all of the folks right here at Harry Carey's. Thank you so much for making this once again the greatest event of our year, of our calendar year,
yes.
Until the next event of our calendar year, which is going to be our live broadcast from the Saturday Night Live display at the Museum of Broadcast Communications coming your way the first week of March.
Here's to Harry.